I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Greg Anthony's going to join us to discuss tonight's NBA Finals coming up here in a little over an hour from now at 20 past next hour. You know, once we flipped to this time slot, Mraz had some troubles keeping the weight off. He was more disciplined when we were at nights. He could prepare the dinner, the relatively healthy dinner he was going to eat here at the studios. Got home, might pound a bag of salt and vinegar Lay's, but largely was doing pretty well. He moved into this time slot. It also coincided with the Rangers' playoff push, and he immediately gained 6 pounds in our first week and a half. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mraz, you've actually shaken that off, and you've gone down to your normal playing weight.
Beyond normal. I got down, as far as last Friday went, to the lowest weight I have been since Thanksgiving.
Wow.
So I really made a positive turn the last 3 weeks.
I bring this up because Fudgy the Whale is in studio bopping around here with ice cream cake. And I'm just a huge ice cream cake guy. For those that don't know, Fudgy the Whale is the Carvel ice cream mascot. And I just grew up with the Fudgy the Whale ice cream cakes. And both Mraz and I indulged in a slice of ice cream cake for breakfast. And I got to say, I don't know if it's because there's a little dairy in there, but it kind of feels like a breakfast. Does it not feel like a legitimate breakfast? It's kind of like eating yogurt.
I totally agree. And I'll tell you why it feels like yogurt and breakfast. Because we got Boomer Esiason from Boomer Carton came out. They had the cake first. It had already been sitting there, I guess, for like 20 minutes or so. It was starting to get that melty texture.
Yeah.
So when I think ice cream cake is at its best, if you have let it sit for a while before it becomes all mush, but where it's soft, where the spoon just goes right through like soft serve ice cream.
Yeah.
And that gives it that yogurt breakfast texture. If you let ice cream sit, you let ice cream cake sit for just enough time, it serves as a breakfast. And the crunchies kind of serve as like the oatmeal flakes on top of the yogurt.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm in the mix.
I am too. My birthday is a summer birthday, June the 21. So I always like to have, well, my mom always used to ask me, what kind of cake do you want for your birthday? And I always said ice cream cake. I always wanted ice cream cake, especially in the summer. An ice cream cake is a must have. It's a go-to. You have to do it. It's like having a deep threat on offense. You have to spread the defense deep. If you are not using that deep threat, you're not utilizing all of your offense.
Tough to win championships that way.
You have to go with an ice cream cake in the summer. And I guess I never realized that you can eat it for breakfast because I feel great right now.
I feel excellent. I feel great. I feel great too. And it was just, we each had just enough too. We didn't have a brick of ice cream cake.
And the Fudge of the Whale cake is part white vanilla ice cream, part chocolate ice cream, then a chocolate syrup on top, and then cookie crumbles.
Yeah, it's the fudgy for Fudgy the Whale. It's that fudge layer on top. The fudge really gives a little element to it.
Man.
It's a cooled hot fudge.
Yeah, man. That was a hell of a breakfast. And so I don't know what this means now that the summer is here, and I have found out that ice cream cake could be the perfect breakfast, but I have to imagine that means that Mraz is going to be over his playing weight if we continue to do this.
Oh, for sure I would be. By the way, real good playoff prep ahead of the Flag playoffs, too.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Scary, scary, scary story today for the rest of the NBA, and that is that Kevin Durant reportedly is willing to take less than his max contract in order to keep the Warriors together. This from ESPN.com. Durant is willing to take less than the maximum contract extension he is eligible for this summer as a 10-year veteran if it helps the Warriors keep the core of their team intact. Durant's gesture would allow the Warriors to keep their entire core together for years to come, even as Steph Curry potentially signs one of the first 5-year supermax contracts created by the new collective bargaining agreement. A team can reward one designated veteran player per year with a contract 35% of the projected salary cap. 35%. And that's going to be about $100 million salary cap, so that's basically $35 million going to Steph Curry. This is relevant to Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, two free agents who have been pivotal to the Warriors' success. In order to sign Kevin Durant to the maximum possible extension this offseason, starting at his own $35 million, the Warriors would have to renounce their rights to Iguodala and Livingston to create room in the salary cap. So, here's the question this summer. Kevin Durant signed a 1-1, a 2-year deal, but he can opt out this summer. If you're paying Kevin Durant $35 million and you're paying Steph Curry $35 million, well, that only leaves $30 million for the rest of your team. Now, you've got Klay and you've got Draymond on very affordable contracts. And right now you have Steph on a very affordable contract. He's only making $11 million a year because he signed it when he had ankle questions. But if Kevin Durant takes less, I don't know if Steph Curry is going to take less, but if Kevin Durant takes less, then they can afford to still keep the entire core of the guys together. I would imagine this, and this is why I said Jeff Van Gundy's prediction that we were going to have 10 straight years of Cavs-Warriors is bozo talk, is because financially, I don't think you can possibly keep this team together for 10 years. I just don't think there's going to be any way to keep this team largely intact for 10 years. But if Kevin Durant is willing at this point not to squeeze out the max and make sure he's flexible to bring more of the core back or as much of the team back as possible, well, at least for the next couple of years, then you can kind of keep rolling like this, and that's a scary thought. Because think about how many would-be dynasties or dynasties that ended up coming to fruition are broken apart because they can't afford to keep the guys together. It's one of the brilliances, if not the singular brilliance, of the New England Patriots. Over 15 years, Bill Belichick did not attempt to keep a certain core of guys together. He did not say, well, we have to re-sign this guy, we have to re-sign that guy, we've got to re-sign this guy. Belichick built an organization that is so flexible, that is so nebulous, that it can fit multiple different types of personnel within it. And so the Patriots have not really been a dynasty in traditional thought. It's not been the same group of guys. The 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers, that's the same group of guys. They all get drafted basically between 1969 and 1974. They win 4 titles in 6 years, and that's the window. The 80s Niners are a little bit more flexible because they go from the early years in 81 and 84 that did not have Jerry Rice, and the first one did not have Roger Craig, and they transition from a Fred Dean and Freddie Solomon and Dwight Clark team to one that has Charles Haley and Jerry Rice and Tom Rathman. And then they win another one with Steve Young, and that 94 team is completely different than any of the early 80s teams. The 1960s Packers, that's the same team. From 60, 61 through 68, 69, that's the same team. But the Dallas Cowboys were broken apart because of free agency, because of money. The Cowboys could keep only so many guys together, but guys started leaving. Like Alvin Harper, like Larry Brown. They could not afford to keep everybody together, and guys peeled off to go get their own. And to me, watching the Patriots do what they've done has been brilliant because it's not built around a certain group of guys. This Warriors team is built around this group of guys. I mean, who knows who's to say what the roster looks like in 6 years or 4 years, but right now it's these guys, and that's the window. And if Kevin Durant is willing to take less to stay to compete to be a champion, there's really nothing basketball can do to break this thing apart. I mean, I suppose the Players Association can lean on KD and say, hey, man, you're making other guys look bad. Take the money, take the money, take the money. But if Kevin Durant wants to keep taking less money like Dirk Nowitzki has done in Dallas, like Tim Duncan did in San Antonio, who's to stop him? If he wants to keep taking less than he would get market value to give them more money, it's what Tom Brady has helped do in New England. It is what, like I said, Nowitzki and Duncan have done in the NBA. Adam Silver is screwed then. The NBA is screwed. In some ways, if you want to break apart the Warriors and you want to see it broken apart, you've got to hope for greed. You've got to hope for Pat Riley's disease of me. That as you win, as you get more attention, as you have more success, guys start thinking about themselves and how important they are to the equation, and then start going, well, I want to get mine somewhere. A guy that I can see doing that is Klay Thompson. I could see Klay Thompson, who said, I ain't sacrificing bleep before the season when they signed Kevin Durant, now being utilized in a very different role, certainly an offense not surrounding him. They're not getting him a lot of great shots. He's getting looks, but not great looks. He's certainly not the first or second option in that offense. And I could see Klay Thompson wanting to go get his max somewhere else. But if Kevin Durant loves this whole winning thing, if Kevin Durant loves the Bay Area, like his representatives are suggesting, if he's putting down business roots and personal roots in the Bay Area, and he is willing to take less, the rest of the NBA is screwed. Because I think what the Warriors will do is max out everything else they can to keep surrounding KD and Steph with this group of guys, but it's going to take one of those guys, Steph or KD, to take less than the max. Because if they both take the max, that's about 70% of the cap. And it's hard then to get all the rest of the guys in for $30 million. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, more news for the SEC football spring meetings, including a potential move of one of the programs to the other division. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
Classic Mike Singletary.
We are the Raisins.
Did he just call us the Raisins?
We are the Raisins.
Like, oh, man, this all bad, man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time for your Ring Central Sound of the Week. This week's Sound of the Week comes to us from PK Subban. Following last night's Preds Game 2 loss, they need a win in Game 3, where the Predators must communicate and come together in a virtual must-win. Your business can communicate and collaborate more effectively anytime, anywhere, and on any device with Ring Central. Learn more at ringcentral.com. Ring Central, communicate, collaborate, connect. Here is Subban.
We're not looking at anybody. We're looking at ourselves, you know. And right away, the focus shifts to we don't lose at our building. So we're going back home. We're going to win the next game, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Got to win Game 3, obviously. But anybody that's put this series on ice, I think, is sorely mistaken. You're going to see a great effort out of the Preds in Game 3 at home in front of that raucous crowd. I think they'll come out with a victory, and suddenly 2-1 didn't look at all like 2-0. Mike tweets, DA, I live in Vegas, so I'm going to head to the sportsbook later and see if there's any prop bets on the meeting of Mraz and Mr. Six. I'd love to know the odds, but we know what's going to happen. Mr. Six is going to come in here, raising hell, talking about what he believes is the truth, and Mraz is going to cower in the corner and act like, I never did anything. I think you're great, Mr. Six. Mr. Six, can I get you more water? Maybe a Fudgy the Whale cake?
No. I'm not going to play that low. No way. I'm just not going to look to fight. I will stand up for myself, defend myself. I will not bow down to him.
No, you won't.
I have 6-1 odds that he will bow down.
That he will totally bow down, yeah.
No, there will be no bro hugs, nothing like that.
Once he says that he's going to kick your ass, they're going to score a million points on your team, that he's going to punch you in the face again when you guys meet on the football field, you are not doing anything in terms of fighting back verbally. I'm not expecting you to fight back physically.
Oh, no.
You're not going to say anything to Mr. Six.
I'll tell him to focus on NWX. We still have a week away from this game. We both got to take care of business.
Six.
There's no way you say anything even remotely aggressive to Mr. Six tomorrow.
I'll dig my heels in. I'm a tough guy now. I took a shot in the face.
You're definitely not a tough guy.
I took a shot in the face, and I survived.
Definitively not a tough guy.
I think I'm a lost cause.
And you're such a tough guy that you took a shot in the face, and it became the biggest controversy ever in your flag football league. You didn't just take a punch and go away. You took a punch and came on the radio and incessantly talked about it, discussed it, who was right, who was wrong, and that's why we're at where we're at, because the whole flag football league turned on its ear because you couldn't take a punch.
Well, there needed to be public pressure for a suspension. He should have gotten more than one game. He shouldn't even be playing us next week if it gets to that.
Yeah, watch. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern time, when Mr. Six is here in studio, what do you think Mraz's tact will be? What can I get you, Mr. Six? How much more water do you need, Mr. Six? Do you need breakfast, Mr. Six?
He won't be called Mr. Six by me.
What are you calling him?
Hey, you. I'm not even giving him the benefit of the doubt of the six.
You will not. You will say, hi, Six. Hello, Mr. Six.
Well, when he wrote something on the Facebook page, I called him Six with two X's. He said it's one X. I said it'll be two when we beat you for a second time.
You wait, you watch. You wait, you watch. Tomorrow at 11 a.m., give me a break. All right, so Auburn wants to go to the SEC East, which, if I just told you that and you didn't know much more about the situation, your reasoning would be, well, yeah, that makes sense. They don't want to play Alabama every year to try to get to an SEC title game, because that means you've got to beat Alabama just to get to an SEC championship game, and that is much easier said than done. In fact, it's not easy either way, but rarely does anybody beat Alabama, and Auburn, outside of the Cam Newton year and the kick six, is waiting and wanting, like the rest of the SEC West, for them to come back down to the pack, for the Crimson Tide to not be a machine every single year.
You are a machine of death.
I understand it. I don't think you'd want to be in the same division as Alabama. You'd want to be on the other side for a clearer path to the SEC championship game. But Auburn AD Jay Jacobs, you're going to want a better excuse than this. Jacobs tells 24/7 Sports, it makes more sense for us from the standpoint of the demographics of our students. 6 or 8 years ago, I looked at all the demographics. Most of all of our students come from Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina, Kentucky, and a few from Mississippi, very few from Louisiana. Since we went to the national championship game twice, we've got more geographical students from all over the place, but still the majority of our students come from the Southeast, end of quote. Oh, well, then you definitely should move to the other division because of where your students come from. Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a ton of sense. Auburn needs to play in the SEC East because it's got more students from South Carolina. Because when you make your decisions with sports rivalries and sports structure and sports, when you make your schedule in football, you should start thinking, well, where's our undergrads come from? Can somebody get this broken down for me? Sure. Because here's the thing. Most of your undergrads come from the state of Alabama. Right? And Alabama is in the West along with you. So if you really want to break down demographics, the argument could be, well, most of your students come from Alabama. Most of Alabama students come from Alabama, so you guys should be on the same side. That's really where the demographics are. But instead, you're going to say, well, no. We got a lot of kids that come from Georgia, a lot of kids that come from Florida, a lot of kids that come from Tennessee and South Carolina, Kentucky. So I think we should be playing those teams. Come on. That's not the reason you want to be on that side of the conference. The reason is you don't want to keep slamming your head into the wall of Alabama every single year to try to break through to get to a conference championship game. But let's not lie about it. Now, there's an easy solution here, and that is flipping Missouri and Auburn. And I would be totally in on that. Because Missouri shouldn't get to choose what side it's in. It's one of the Johnny-come-latelys, along with Texas A&M. A&M's in the West, so they wanted to make Missouri on the eastern side. But Mizzou doesn't really get to choose. If they're going to put Mizzou on the tougher side of things, that's what has to be done because they were the last team in, basically. And Missouri is obviously farther west than most of the other SEC schools. So putting Missouri with Arkansas, which is a border state, makes sense. Taking Missouri out of what is now the easier side of the conference, finally, fine, that makes sense. You want to put Auburn in the east? Fine. I have no problem there. You've got to make sure you keep the Iron Bowl. You cannot do away with the Iron Bowl. Auburn, Alabama have to play every single season. But Auburn's even saying, hey, if we want to move that game around so that we don't necessarily have an Alabama-Auburn back-to-back weeks, once in the Iron Bowl, once in the SEC championship game, we'll do that. That's how desperate Auburn is. But just be real about this. Let's just be real about it instead of suggesting, well, we got a lot of kids that come from Kentucky, so we should probably play them every year. Not the reason you're doing this. Not the reason you're doing this. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. The problem with this is you get one cross-division, cross-conference rivalry, and if Auburn, Alabama is locked in, that means Alabama loses Tennessee. And Alabama-Tennessee has been one of the great rivalries in college football for a really long time. Not quite what it once was back in the 70s and 80s, but still really good. You wouldn't want to lose it. That is the biggest problem here if you do move Auburn to the east, because you got to keep them with the rivalry with Alabama. When we return, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day, including Doc Emmerich giving play-by-play of something far more important than hockey. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
When I'm hungry, I'm crazy. So it's just like, okay, hurry up. Let's get her some food. I get hangry. I go nuts. Like, I don't know. The blood pressure gets low and I'm just like evil.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
38 minutes past the hour. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the superstar battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Hey, guys, before we get to the sound check, can we have the laugh montage queued up here? I've had a good morning on social media. Most people have been fun, funny, smart, entertaining. That's why I like social media, because we have really funny, cool listeners. Always have, always will. I'm very, very, very impressed constantly with the social media of our listeners. Now, I know who's not a listener. It's the listeners that come at me with the pitchforks and torches and daggers, and they just want to come and start a fight. And that's not all that fun, because it shows a lack of intellect. It shows me exactly who you are. But mostly our listeners are awesome, which I absolutely love, which I love.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
I get this message, though, from a follower named Nick, who tweets, "DA, I'm listening to you brag about how perfect LeBron is. Did you miss him DMing an Instagram model? He's married. Don't forget he has kids." Well, I don't know when the last time I said that LeBron was perfect, because I've never said any athlete ever is perfect. Actually, one of the things I talk about most is that we should not ever assume that any of these athletes are perfect. It's the most dangerous thing we could do. Like Tiger Woods. That's a great example. The moment you think you know them, you're wrong, because you don't. What I have, though, said is that LeBron, for a superstar, has never had the off-the-field nonsense that makes us all sick to our stomach, gives us headaches, makes us frustrated that we bought a jersey or bought an autograph or rooted for this guy. LeBron hasn't had the speeding with a loaded gun in the car. He hasn't had the clubbing all night, reeking of booze, coming to the playoffs the next day. He's not a gambling addict. He's not a coach killer. He's not a terrible teammate. He has no domestic violence. He has no criminal charges. He's never in any trouble. And that's my point, is that, look, you can dislike LeBron because of the decision. You can dislike LeBron because he beats your team a lot. But if you're looking for reasons to smear LeBron's reputation, it's weak, because he is a superstar that has done it the right way, to the point of what we know, obviously. And I am not assuming I know anything about him personally, his family, but from what we know, the guy's never been in trouble. And his wife is his high school sweetheart, and his kids seem pretty well adjusted, and he seems like a pretty good dad. This is not Antonio Cromartie with 14 kids and 6 different wives. LeBron James has largely been a pretty good dude and a great ambassador for basketball. But if you're looking to hate and you're looking to trash him, you have to start grasping for straws if you're going to go personal. And for listener Nick, if you missed it, LeBron James sent a DM to an Instagram model that said, "Hey, what's up?" So this is, I guess, how that conversation goes. "Daddy, daddy, daddy, was LeBron James a good guy?" "No." "Why not? What did he do? What was so bad?" "He talked to a model." "What did he say? What did he say?" "He said, 'Hey, what's up?'" "Is that it? Is that why LeBron's a bad guy?" "Yes." "Is that bad, daddy?" "Yes, very bad guy." I mean, you're really reaching if that is going to be why you are judging his character and saying, "You see, LeBron's not perfect. He once DM'd the model, 'Hey, what's up?'"
Let me try again.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
Check out.
God.
That'll be in the laugh montage.
Awesome.
That one, when you had the flu or you had that hacking cough, is the most disgusting laugh of all time.
My body was decaying on the inside, but I had to laugh.
Was that when you had the flu from the sunburn?
I think that was the sun flu, where I was totally knocked out and dehydrated from the sun poisoning. Really just ruined my entire body.
Isn't that great, Bilotti? Isn't that just the best? Oh, sounded like he was dying on his deathbed.
Just hacking up pork chops.
Time for your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We begin with Browns head coach Hugh Jackson, who is very high on baby Brock Osweiler.
Brock's been a pleasant surprise. He's done a good job. He works hard at it every day. He's into it. I think he really enjoys being here. I think Coach Lee's done a great job with him. I think he's really meshed with the other quarterbacks, and so he has a good feel to him. I expected everything that you guys wrote. I watched everything you guys wrote about what he was and what he wasn't. I mean, I heard it from everywhere, too. I think the guy, since he's been here, he's been outstanding.
I don't want my baby Brock, baby Brock, baby Brock, my baby Brock, Osweiler. But maybe the Browns do. Number one, when coaches say, I don't listen, I don't read the internet, I don't listen to sports talk radio, I don't know what's being said. Here's Hugh Jackson saying the exact opposite. I've read everything you guys have written about Brock Osweiler. Oops. Hugh, now you can't go back and say, I'm not listening to what you guys are saying. I'm not reading what you're writing. You just said you read everything that these guys write. Number two, Brock Osweiler is going to be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. You put that down. Week one, baby Brock, I want my baby Brock. He is going to be starting week one. I understand why they're trying to build him up right now. They might have somebody kick the tires on trading for him if they need a starting quarterback because somebody goes down a la Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford last year. But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think anybody wants to trade for Brock Osweiler. I think there is a huge skepticism about Brock Osweiler around the league. So I don't think anybody's going to be going in there and trading for him. So what the Browns are also doing is building him up. Build him up publicly, and then also privately, hoping that maybe he grabs the reins of being a leader and grabbing the huddle. But here is best case scenario for the Cleveland Brownies. Brock Osweiler is the starting quarterback in 2016. They end up going 5-11, 6-10, showing some improvement. And then they've got their franchise quarterback already under contract, rookie deal, and DeShone Kizer. And he begins week one, 2018. That's best case scenario. You don't need Brock Osweiler long term. You do want DeShone Kizer, though, to pay dividends. Because if he doesn't and you end up winning five games this year, you're not getting the number one pick anymore. Who knows where you're picking, right? And so that's a little bit of an issue. The better you are, the worse your draft pick is going to be to get that next quarterback. Doc Emrick is the best. We all know Doc Emrick is the best. Doc Emrick might be better at his job than anybody else in broadcasting is at their job. The voice of hockey on NBC last night giving play-by-play of his Primanti Brothers sandwich order.
I'm going to take a closer look at this and see how it's all done. These are the hands of Mike Mitchum, 6 feet, 215 pounds, 37 years of age. 17 years in the service of Primanti Brothers. Class, anybody, what comes next? The fries, you're right. After that, the pieces of tomato, the coleslaw. On top, with just enough force, gets that other piece of bread to the top
makes the wrapper go over, doubles, and slides.
You're pretty good at this.
So are you.
Number one, I love Doc Emrick. Number two, from Annie Brothers, is my favorite sandwich in America. I can honestly say that. From Andy Brothers, which is a Western Pennsylvania institution. I've got family out there, friends out there. I was taken out there by one of my boys from college that is from Pittsburgh. He's like, we got to go to Primanti Brothers. We got to go to the original Primanti Brothers. Went in there, got a Capicola on bread with the egg on it. They put the coleslaw on the sandwich, the tomatoes as well. Bingo, bango, hot sandwich. It was the best sandwich experience I've ever had. But there's also ones down in South Florida. So every time I go back to South Florida, I head over to Primanti Brothers as well, get the Capicola. It's absolutely to die for. Whereas you still never had a Primanti Brothers sandwich, correct?
It's almost disappointing that a person as fat as me has never had Primanti Brothers.
It's really...
Even if you're fat.
Terrible shame.
It is a terrible shame. It's on the bucket list.
It's got to be. Oh, it's got to be. Little IC light, Primanti Brothers. Oh, now you're talking. And finally, we played this audio for you earlier, but it's worth playing again. Tiger Woods, he is on Planet Zippo when he's pulled over for the DUI, and he's reciting the alphabet.
Go ahead and stand with your feet together and your arms down by your side.
Oh.
Are you okay? What's wrong?
What are we doing?
Right now, I want you to say the alphabet from A to Z with your eyes closed and your head tilted backwards, with your feet together and your arms down by your side in a slow, non-rhythmic manner. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and say it with your feet together and your arms down by your side. Just like that. Just like I am.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and close your eyes.
Yeah.
Tilt your head backwards. Go ahead and close your eyes. You're not closing your eyes.
What's that? What is that?
This is just a microphone. It's just recording the audio. Go ahead and close your eyes, tilt your head backward, okay? And then you're going to say the entire English alphabet from A to Z in a non-rhythmic manner, meaning you're not going to sing it, okay?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, B, W, X, Y, and Z.
I'm telling you this right now, seriously. What happened to Tiger Woods is the best thing that could have ever happened to him. I know he's humiliated. I know he's embarrassed. I know it makes him look bad. But he was so out. He was so gone. He is so remarkably fortunate. He did not hurt himself. He did not hurt somebody else. He did not smash his car into something, drive it off the side of the road. I mean, it has two blown out tires. It is parked and running with the blinker on the side of the road, but still in traffic. He is asleep at the wheel, and that's how out of it he was. He is asked, do you know where you are? He says, no. They ask him, where are you going? He says, what do you mean? What are we doing? He has no idea where he's at. That could have been so much worse. And that is your sound check. You know when they say the sobriety test is doing the alphabet backwards? That's really tough even sober. Do you think you could do that sober, Mraz?
No, I've thought about this before. There's no way I do it sober. I don't understand how that's even a test for this.
Let's see. Z, Y, X, W... U-T?
No, I think you've got the V in there.
Oh, I forgot the V, yeah.
V-U-T?
X-Y-Z. V-U. Okay, so W-V-U-T-S-R-P?
O-N-L?
O-N, no, Q. O-N-M-L, right? We forgot the Q.
A Q in there.
There is, wait a second, there's P-Q-R-S. Okay, so we forgot the Q after R. We're at L. L-J-K... K, J, H, G, F, D,
E.
Oh, we forgot the E. Yeah. F, E, D, C, B, A. So we forgot three different letters in there.
M and N, too.
M, N. Right. I got N, M.
We'd be locked up real quick in the slammer.
Right? I mean, it's a hard deal. That is hard.
They got to come up with something else. You know, like sing the words to bye, bye, bye or something.
That would be your sobriety test.
Bye. And you got to do the, if you did the whole music video where you're kind of waving and stuff.
Yeah, but wouldn't you?
That's tough coordination.
But you'd be able to do that drunk. I mean, I think even probably better.
No, see, we always think it's better if you've had a few cocktails. Yeah. The cops would know. They'd know.
They would know. ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA. That's tough. That is tough.
Steel curtain defense.
And there is no song that goes with it. ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA. Now I have my backward alphabet. I'm not as messed up as Tiger Woods was. Can somebody please answer me why the NFL finally realized how stupid it was being with Mike Tirico? We'll talk about that next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.